Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL, taking you through a Friday afternoon into your Friday evening. And we're going to do something now that we haven't done in a while, and that's talk Browns. And to do that, we bring in Scott Petrek with the Chronicle-Telegram, also of BrownZone.com. Scott, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Lovely. And boy, it sounds like you were a busy man last week down at the Combine. We're going to get to that a little bit later on. But, you know, we're coming up on the opening of free agency. Obviously, we've heard a ton of rumors the last couple of months involving the Browns with all the cap space that they have. So we'll start with this. How active do you think the Browns are going to be in free agency?
I think they're going to try to be really active. I'm just not sure if they're going to be able to execute given 0-16 and 1-31 over the last 2 years. You know, I mean, I know John Dorsey's going to chase guys at a number of positions, but I'm concerned about whether or not he's going to be able to sign enough of the high-quality free agents that are out there. And there's not a ton out there, right? Not as many guys get to free agency as it seems they used to because of the higher salary cap and the free franchise tags and whatnot. So I think he's going to make pitches to a lot of guys, but there's money for other teams to spend, and those teams have better records of late and more stable coaching situations. So I think it's going to be difficult, but I know that they're going to make an effort to get, you know, a number of guys. So we'll have to see how it plays out.
Scott, how much will that really hinder? I mean, the Lions had the 0-4 season. They end up getting Matt Stafford, and everything kind of changes after that. Now they're a team that constantly seems to be running in the playoffs there. Is this something the Browns can overcome? Is it going to take a few years before they do that?
I think that's probably realistic, that you need to see, you know, if you're around the league, you need to see signs of progress, and there just haven't been enough. You know, now if they go draft a guy number one in April and he starts to look like, okay, they, you know, he's going to be the guy, and they win some games this year, and it looks like the young talent is progressing and the roster is getting better, then I think you have a better chance next year. Now, that's not to say that they won't be able to sign anybody, because money still, you know, is probably the most important thing when players are in free agency and looking for a new team. The Browns just have to make, it just has to be a big enough gap to overcome their losing ways, which means, you know, they're going to have to overpay. It's just how much are they willing to overpay? Will some guys burn them anyway? You know, last year they were willing to overpay for Tony Jefferson, the safety, and he wound up taking less money to go to Baltimore. And I think you could see that same scenario play out. It depends on the player they're targeting. It depends on the sales pitch from John Dorsey and Hugh Jackson. Now, the good thing is John Dorsey has a good reputation around the league, and the front office has Elliott Wolf and Alonzo Highsmith, and I think that drew, you know, the hiring of those two guys earned respect around the league and drew some praise. And I think Hugh Jackson still has a good reputation despite his record the last 2 years here. But, you know, if let's say if you're Allen Robinson and you're a free agent and the Browns offer you X number of dollars and whoever, San Francisco offers you X number of dollars, you probably want to go play with Jimmy Garoppolo and a team that looks like they're already on the rise as opposed to taking a chance on a team that hasn't shown anything in a long, long time.
In your mind, is it fair that they've gotten torn apart the last couple of days because teams like the Rams have gone out there and, at least on paper, they appear to have done more to improve their team via trades? You think that's fair in your mind that they've done a little bit more than the Browns and the Browns are kind of being torn apart?
I do not think that's fair. You know, the guys that the Rams have gotten, and even Michael Bennett going to Philadelphia, I think those are special cases. You know, a guy like Aqib Talib, I don't think he would come play for Cleveland right now, but he's willing to be traded to the Rams, and he'll probably sign some kind of extension there. And I think you saw the same thing when Alex Smith got traded from Kansas City. The Browns wanted Alex Smith. They made an offer, and I think Kansas City decided we're going to ship him to Washington where he can sign a long-term deal that he wants, and we get a pick and a player that we want. And I bet the Browns would have made a better offer than Kansas City got. That's just the problem with the length of time that the Browns have lost, the constant turnover in front office, the constant turnover in the coaching staff. It's tough to convince people to come play for you if they have other equally, you know, appealing options. So, you know, when it comes to these trades, I think the Browns, you know, they've hosted free agents that are already out there. They've talked trade with teams. I think it's a difficult position for them, and that's why I don't blame John Dorsey for not having gotten anything accomplished to this point. But I will blame him if he's unable to do anything in free agency, because he has the money and he's got to figure out a way to make it work for at least a couple players.
Again, we're talking Browns with Scott Petrek of the Chronicle-Telegram, also of BrownZone.com, here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, I mentioned we bring things back around to the Combine. You were there last week, and just about everybody threw there, everybody worked out there except for Sam Darnold. Of the guys that you saw throw and work out last week, which of those signal callers really stood out most to you?
Well, I think Josh Allen had the best day throwing, but we also have to be careful not to take too much away from that. It's one throwing session, controlled environment, no defense, no pass rush, no nothing. And Josh Allen should look better because he's huge and he's got a giant arm. Now, his accuracy, I think, was better than you'd assume from the 56% completion percentage at Wyoming. And he's been working on some stuff, and maybe it gives the team hope that, yes, his mechanics have gotten better and that can be fixed and improved at the next level. I still have serious doubts about that. And then I thought Baker Mayfield threw well, you know, which is probably to be expected. He's got a good motion. If you watch him play, it's a compact, tight, quick motion. He throws the ball pretty well, you know, better than expected for a guy that size. I thought Rosen was a little up and down, but showed what you're looking for and what shows up on film, which is he's a natural throw of the ball. Ball comes out of his hand nice. It's a good combination of arm strength and accuracy. So I don't think anybody hurt themselves, and I think I feel the same way about the interviews. You know, I thought when I talked to these guys, Baker Mayfield came across as cocky, but that's to be expected, and I think he'd admit that, or at least he would admit that he's highly confident. He drew the line before cocky. I liked the way Josh Rosen answered questions, and the other two guys were fine as well. So, you know, I think there's so much involved in this process, from film to interviews to combine to private workouts to pro days, and we're only a little bit ways into it, but my quarterback ranking did not change coming out of the combine.
When you look at Josh Allen, do you look at is it important to look at the coaching staff that's kind of trained him? Because that's Craig Bohl's team over in Wyoming. He's the same guy who recently kind of started with Carson Wentz before he left North Dakota State and went to Wyoming. Had another quarterback there at NDSU, finds his way into the NFL. I mean, that's not a quarterback program there, but Craig Bohl seems to be, and his coaching staff seem to be creating some guys. Do you pay attention to that, or is that not so important?
Well, I think you do have to pay attention to it, but then I think it's also fair then to compare and contrast the numbers that Wentz and Allen put up. And obviously, sure, you know, Wentz was on a talented North Dakota State team that was playing at a different level and was way better than its competition, it appeared to be. And Wyoming wasn't, as a whole roster, on the same level against its talent, you know, when it played against Iowa and I'm blanking on who else they played. It was Oregon. You know, they didn't look good, and Josh Allen didn't look good. So, you know, for him, it's all about the accuracy. And when you watch him on film, it's just not consistent enough, and that worries me. And when you break down these top four guys, to me, the biggest red flags are Josh Allen's accuracy and Baker Mayfield's height. And those are two things that I don't think, if I'm the GM, I can talk myself into with the number one pick and probably even the number four pick.
Well, I want to go to the other side of the ball now, Scott, too. I think a lot of times we get fixated on quarterbacks because the Browns always seem to be in the market for one. But if you go to the other side of the ball, of all the defensive players you saw work out at the Combine last week, were there a couple of guys that really stood out to you there?
Well, I mean, it's the guys we're paying attention to at the top of the draft. You know, those are the guys I was keeping an eye on. And it's, you know, Chubb from North Carolina State and Minkah Fitzpatrick from Alabama and Denzel Ward from Ohio State. And all three guys look good. I don't think Ward's in play at four, but if there were a trade down, he'd be in play at corner for the Browns. I think Chubb and Fitzpatrick are in play. You know, and I think you have to take a quarterback at one. So I don't believe the talk that they'll take any other position, including running back, at one. And when it comes to four, I think whichever defensive player is there, if it's Minkah Fitzpatrick or Chubb from North Carolina State. I think the Browns have to take whoever's higher on their board there. And if they're both there, which I would not expect, then maybe you let the tiebreaker be position of need, which would be secondary as opposed to D-line. But I like both those guys, and I think both continue to show that there's no reason not to take them in the top five.
Earlier in the interview, you had mentioned that in the process of free agency, the Browns are going to have to do a good job of convincing players that this is going to be a better environment to play in. It's going to be a much better workplace altogether. And I think as you're trying to turn things around, you have to sell that because, as you mentioned, whether you like it or not, 0-16 is definitely going to affect you. Now, the other guy who I think we have to bring up here towards the end of this interview would be Joe Thomas, because he's another one of those guys that you have to convince that you've changed things around and it's okay for him to come back. But here we are on Friday, March 9th, and we still don't know what Joe Thomas is going to do, even though he did mention that going into free agency, you know, he would like to make his mind up so the Browns know what they have to do moving forward. Any idea? I mean, could you even put a percentage on what he's thinking right now, stay or go?
Well, let me tell you, I'm surprised that we haven't gotten a decision yet. You know, I thought it was going to come this week. I'm surprised it hasn't come. I don't know if it's going to come Saturday or Sunday, or, you know, Monday's about the latest you would think that he could let the team know. So, I'm surprised it's not here yet. My thought is he's leaning toward coming back, but I think it's a really tough decision for Joe. I don't have a lot of confidence in that prediction. And he said it. He said as much this week that he's gone back and forth. One day he thinks he's coming back. The next day he thinks he's not. I think when it's done, he'll say, I'm going to play one more season. I can get through one more season. I'll collect one more big salary. TV will still be waiting for me. But, you know, like I said, I don't feel confident in that. I think you could say, you know what, there's no need for me to push it another year and put my back and my knees through what they've been through for 11 seasons in the NFL, and I can go make good money and not get hit at all, playing, you know, talking on TV for Fox or ESPN or whoever it is. So I think we're going to get that decision shortly, and if he does retire, then the Browns are going to have to address that, and it becomes another priority and another glaring position of need, because there's not a guy on the roster that can step in and play left tackle anywhere near the level that Joe Thomas has played it.
If he decides to come back, I mean, Joe Thomas has spoken out positively about Hugh Jackson. Does that help in the free agency market, or are guys hearing what he has to say, or is it just water under the bridge?
Yeah, well, here's the thing with Joe, and that's one of the great things about him. He just has a great attitude, period. And I don't think whoever they sign in free agency or who they draft would affect Joe's decision, and obviously he's going to make it before then. But when it comes to convincing guys, I can't hurt to have Joe on your roster. But the key will be to get guys in the building. That's when Hugh can give a good sales pitch. And John Dorsey and Joe Thomas and Todd Haley and, you know, Miles Garrett if he wants to. That's if you get a guy in the building, then you can try to convince him. The problem is if six teams call, I keep going back to Allen Robinson, but if six teams call Jermaine Johnson and say, hey, we want to talk to you and we want to make you a great offer on the first day of free agency. And he goes, okay, I'm going to talk to these teams and maybe take a visit or two. I'm not sure the Browns even make that finalist list. And that's a problem, you know. So they have to overcome that before they even get a chance to talk guys into coming. So there's a lot of layers, a lot of hurdles that need to be cleared for this team.
Yeah, no question about that. And again, as you stated earlier, look, when you go 0-16 and you're 1-31 over the last two seasons, like it or not, that definitely comes into play when it comes time for free agency. And obviously, we'll know more a week or so from now. I mean, I think what they do in free agency will obviously give us a pretty good idea as to how they want to approach the draft as well. And that's all, I guess, looking at the schedule now, it's not that far away. I guess we're about 6 weeks away from it. So there's a lot to be discussed there as well. Scott, as always, we sincerely appreciate the time, and we look forward to doing it again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Scott Petrek with the Chronicle Telegram and BrownZone.com, talking Browns with us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We need to step aside and take a break, but Matt and I will come back for the final half hour of today's show. After this, it's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.